But in a related story, and it's a twist in an already twisted notion of justice in the prison on Guantanamo Bay today, the mental competence of Osama bin Laden's driver, Salim Ahmed Hamdan, will be argued in a military court. Hamdan's lawyers say the conditions of his detention are responsible for making him insane. This is just the first of many potential blockbuster revelations from the so-called terrorist detention center. The former chief prosecutor for Guantanamo is scheduled to testify for the defense, arguing that the Pentagon asserted undue influence on the Guantanamo legal system and pressed for prosecutions for political reasons. Bill Glaberson is at Gitmo covering the hearings for the New York Times, living in a tent city with hundreds of journalists and lawyers. We'll get to that in a second. But Bill, again Guantanamo, again the U.S. Constitution seems to be in the balance. Does the Hamdan case slice the constitutional issues any differently, do you think?
Oh, I think what we've learned about Guantanamo and the legal system in the United States is that there is an infinite number of challenges to the basic fundamental questions of how, you know, we view the Constitution and what we view as fundamental legal rights.
So I guess, you know, the Hamdan case, the competence to stand trial, just describe how that issue plays in this small case. And then what's the larger issue for other detainees, because these are all starting to come to trial now?
It's quite a fascinating issue. You know, for 6 years now, there's been international criticism of the way the U.S. holds people here on this military base in Cuba. The way it plays out in this particular case at this particular moment is that his lawyers say that Hamdan has been held in isolation for so long and essentially driven crazy by the conditions of his confinement that he's in such a condition that he can't work with them, that he can't participate with them, that the only thing that he can focus on is getting out of what they call solitary confinement, and therefore they say that that denies him the right to an attorney because he can't really effectively work with them and effectively denies him a fair trial. So that's one of the issues that will be put before a military judge today. Interestingly, as is often the case in Guantanamo, it's being put forth, this very provocative argument, by a military defense lawyer.
That is so interesting. Does the U.S. government have an argument that before, quote-unquote, we allegedly drove him insane, we got some great information out of him that has prevented any number of terrorist attacks here in the U.S., or is that under wraps?
I don't know the details of what information he might have supplied, but certainly that is always the argument in these cases, that when they got these people and they got him in 2002, very early on in Afghanistan, that they were interrogating him for, you know, intelligence, military intelligence. He was, after all, somebody who had been close to Osama bin Laden and had, they say, helped bin Laden elude capture right after the 2001 attacks. So they say, you know, you can't apply typical legal standards the way you would to a police officer in New York City, for example, because these were military interrogators interrogating him under war conditions, literal war conditions at that time. Of course, Hamdan, like many of the detainees here at Guantanamo, has been interrogated hundreds and hundreds of times. And we are led to believe many of these people are still being interrogated 6 years later. So one of the arguments that the lawyers make is 6 years later, you're not talking about wartime conditions. These
right.
people are being held here very similar to an American prison.
So what do you make of the chief prosecutor for Guantanamo testifying on potential political allegations of the Pentagon intervening in the justice process? I mean, it seems as though a lot of people are running for cover here, even in the Pentagon establishment, on this whole Gitmo procedure.
Well, you know, it's 6 years of Guantanamo, and Guantanamo has turned almost everything on its head, and this is one of those incredibly weird twists in the Guantanamo story, that you have the man who was essentially the Pentagon spokesman for Guantanamo.
I mean, he's a former now, but he's former now, but go ahead. Yeah.
Former. He resigned or left office, depends who you listen to, in October. And actually, this morning, if he takes the stand, he's likely to be cross-examined by his successor, another military colonel who
amazing.
Is now the chief prosecutor.
Well, Bill, we have to move on. You're a pretty good camper down there, I read from your article. You're living in a tent city and 550 court officials and journalists and reporters all in the same tent city.
Yes, I don't know about good. I think if you ask the soldiers here, they would say that I'm kind of a complainer.
Kind of a complainer. All right, well, we would count on that if you're from the New York Times, because that complaining skepticism is what gets to the truth. William Glaberson.
Yeah, I can confirm that we're living in tents.
Thank you very much. William Glaberson of the New York Times, covering the Gitmo procedures and the Hamdan case, which comes to trial.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.